Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 6th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Public Works Director and Parks guy, Tom Madsen.
And levies.
You really want to bring the levies back in again,
and
huh?
Solid waste.
You know, every time you bring those in, that it's a trigger for another discussion point.
Well, that's good. That'll keep us going.
Okie dokie. Oh, you ready for your question, Mr. I'm in charge of everything in the county?
Except for the book you handle, which I can never get a right answer to.
All right. Well, this one, yeah. Why are playing cards made up of hearts, spades, clubs, and diamonds?
I am not even going to speculate other than you have to have something different to have more matches.
Okay. Although playing cards originated in China many centuries ago, in their present form, they only go back to 14th century France. It's been suggested that the four standard suits represent the four major classes of 14th century French society. Hearts represent the nobility in the church, because they're kind of shaped like a shield. Spades, shaped like a spear tip, represent the military. Clubs, shaped like clover, represent the rural peasant. And diamonds, shaped like the tiles associated with merchant shops, represent the middle class.
I guess I'm a club then.
That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Back then, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not
I
think today.
I got kind of a dispute with your definition of nobles, though.
Well, I could pronounce it Nobel.
Yeah.
Then everybody has a prize, right?
I just don't think they lived up to what you said.
Oh. What a shocker. Yeah, the working class.
Yeah.
Regular guys and gals, yeah. How's summer been for you guys? You been able to get a ton done?
It has been busy as busy can be. Parks have just been overwhelmed with people. We've got a ton of projects going on the roads that are still going on, still going out to bid.
Still going out to bid for
this year, yeah.
Current building cycle, just get her done,
guys?
We've
got just a ton of backlog of storm damage projects that finally got FEMA approval that we're moving forward. A lot of them will probably have to put on winter suspension, but got to get them out there and get people contracted so they're ready to build and ready to go.
Are those local contractors that can do those? Mercer Fraser obviously can do anything.
Most of our contractors are local. We do get occasional bids from out of the area. We do get occasional low bids from out of the area, but the vast majority are from our region, our contractors.
Our buddies.
Yeah, because they don't have to mobilize all the way up here. They've got that competitive advantage.
I guess the reason I was asking, not for that purpose, but if there was some specialization. You know, like bridges, okay, that's a whole different ballpark than dropping asphalt.
Yeah, we do get some specialty contractors on certain portions of the work, but we have bridge contractors up here. Mercer Fraser can build bridges. They bid on our bridges.
Yeah, they do pretty much anything. Huh?
Yeah, they do everything. Yeah. You know, some of the specialty work in our facilities has to come from out of the area. If you got, you know, special facilities that there's only a few contractors in the world, like jails, those generally come from out of the area.
You're not responsible for building Billy's Edition, are you?
We're working on it.
Are you part of that project?
You darn right we're working on that, baby.
How come?
Because it's county facility, and facilities are my problem.
Oh, even though you're not building it, you're the overseer?
We oversee all the architect, all the planning, all the develop the funding, the estimates, all of that stuff.
Well, it's got to be kind of halfway exciting then to see something of that magnitude.
It's good to see something new. But it's also frustrating because everything else is falling apart and there's no money to maintain things. And so everybody likes a ribbon cutter and we like filling potholes.
Yeah, the maintenance budget seems to be forgotten sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, and it's, you know, I had this conversation with a resident a couple of weeks ago about a FEMA project and complaining that we don't do any maintenance and that's why we have these storm damage. And I can't discount that, but if I had the storm damage money up front, it would cost a lot less.
Yeah.
It would go a lot further than that one singular location that I have it to reimburse me for after the fact. And it's just, it's... a fact of American life is...
It's just the way the game gets played right now?
The way the game gets played right now is very little for maintenance, whole lot for shiny new metal objects.
Is the state doing anything different with all this surplus dollars for deferred maintenance types of projects like that?
Roads did very, very poorly under all of the excess budget. we asked for money for bridges. We asked for money for safety projects. Did not get any.
Really?
Nope.
Does that mean your lobbyist isn't that good? Or?
It means right now the state's priorities are not infrastructure. They're COVID. They're homeless.
Yeah, but there's been so much lip service given to deferred maintenance and roads and Caltrans and that. Did Caltrans get a bunch of bucks that didn't make it down to you?
We got stimulus money through the feds. Caltrans did. Directly for roads. Of course, they kept the whole slew and didn't pass any on to local government. And we got SB1 that's been helping out for a couple of years, but it's still not quite there. It's just there's lots of needs and very, very limited resources, even though we talk trillions and trillions of dollars. When you spread it around 50 states and 350 million people, it doesn't go far.
Oh, but it takes a long time to pay it off.
If you don't pay for it up front, and I've always been trying to be a pay-as-I-go guy. I mean, our former director got asked if we could take a loan out on something, and his response was basically what I've co-opted. I can borrow all the money in the world. Paying it back is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So as you look at these projects, you're hoping to get wrapped up by the end of the dry season.
Yeah, pretty much October, November, we try to close things down for the major projects down.
What is the long-range forecast? I know Troy's talking about a wet winter, which is cool on so many levels, but are you hoping to be able to squeeze it down through Thanksgiving?
At this point, we get down to regularly watching basically a week or two out. Because, technically October 15th is a water quality issue date. And so while we do have some...
It kicks in or it stops?
The private sector generally stops on October 15th. Because roads have to be used year-round, we have some exceptions. So we have to kick in extra regulations when it's starting to rain, et cetera. So at this point, we start watching the weather on a weekly basis, planning a week out of, okay, we got a good week coming, we can go full bore, or we got a storm coming in 3 days, we need to start buttoning things up and do all of our best management practices.
Clean out the culverts.
Clean out the culverts, yeah. Cover the dirt with seed and hay and...
Have some fun out on the roads, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, with some of the projects that are still out there, the parks, I know, they were shuttered for a long time. You guys didn't really have much opportunity to work with them. Okay, and then all of a sudden, here comes the tidal wave of public demand for access to it. Have you been able to get any of those things squared up? Because I know you had some on your list for the county parks also.
Yeah, generally, we do parks work in the winter. Summer is so busy that our rangers are just, they do a lot of their own work at the facilities during the winter and in the off months. But from, Memorial Day to Labor Day, we are swamped with, this year has just been overwhelming. I mean, we
it's kind of cool.
It's great that people love our county parks. But it just, it's frustrating as well, because we're on a first-come, first-served basis. So people are constantly calling, is it open, is it open? And you have to get there on a Thursday if you want it for the weekend, for sure, maybe even on a Wednesday.
Has there been any thought to trying to expand that, or is it just so challenging these days?
The problem we have is our parks are remote, and so it's hard. We really need a computer system, a credit card system, et cetera, out at the parks. And so we've got to bring cellular service in. And so, developing a reservation system, that's a catch-22. Some people love it. Some people, you know, like to have a park open that they can go to and camp at. Pop in and not have to have it reserved. We do, you know, certain sites, like our Van Dusen, our part of our Van Dusen Park is a group section.
Now, that used to be close to a river, right?
It's still close to a riverbed.
Yeah, okay. gone over the bridge a couple times. There's not a lot of water there.
I live down at the intersection of Eel River and Van Dusen, and you can look very far up the river before you see any water anymore at this point. It's been dry for quite some time.
Yeah, it's time for the rains to arrive.
It's time for a real Humboldt County winter.
Yeah.
Which is another catch-22, because we don't need any more storm damage.
I was going to ask, so are you ready? And you've had a little bit of respite over the last couple of years, maybe not all the funding you wanted, but a chance at least to get out into some of the areas and to do your magic.
We're as ready as we can be. Frankly, we don't have the resources, the people, the equipment, to be everywhere all the time to get all the maintenance done. It would be, you know, losing CAL FIRE and SWAP help over the last year really hurt on our roadside vegetation program, because they did a lot of that work for us. It was basically over $3 million in
worth of weed whacking?
Worth of weed whacking and labor, if you put if I had to hire it out at private sector wages. That we lost, and so we're having to try to catch up on that. Well, if you're doing that, then you're not digging out your culverts and your ditches, and so it's a vicious circle, but we're doing the best we can with what we got, and the guys out there are dedicated.
Now, last time I went up Neyland, it looked like there must have been an asphalt machine that broke free and started going up there, because there were some places that didn't appear like they had received an awful lot of attention for some time, and now it's...
Well,
it's nice.
We got a little paver a couple of years ago, and with the SB1 funding and Measure Z funding, we've been able to go out and do quite a bit of paving on some of the places that, you know, people wouldn't expect. Dallas Prairie Road, New Navy Base Road, some of these places we hadn't touched in a long time. We're able to go out and hit on, you know, short little patches usually, but it's a lot better than what we'd been able to do in the past with just greater patching.
No chance you can attack a couple of the roads inside of Eureka, is there?
Inside of Eureka? No. They're doing fairly well with their road fund and their road tax.
I know. It's just some of the roads are a little, you know,
alligator. Well, you can't get all them all at once. You know?
And you'll notice I've not brought up Marsh Road.
No, at this end of it's beautiful.
Yeah. Was that the last 10 feet?
The private section.
Yeah.
Getting to the private section,
a little half-tracky, but yeah.
But it keeps you going slow through the neighborhood.
That's right. Yeah. Natural speed bumps, right?
Exactly.
There you go. with the onset of potential a wet period, are some of those seasonal bridges, have they been pulled out yet?
Not yet.
When do you wait for the first storms to come in?
Those are actually tied to the river, the flow in the river at Scotia. And so when the gauge hits a certain point, we have to pull them. And so we watch those gauges. They're not ever near right now, but...
Yeah, I would think you need a binocular to see the bottom number, huh?
Yeah, but a good heavy storm, and they'll be coming out.
Oh, really? Just one storm isn't enough? That's
right. If it's heavy enough, if we get a good 3 to 5 inch whopper, yeah.
Really? It'll move that much?
It'll move. With that size of that watershed?
Yeah, okay.
You can... That watershed is just absolutely huge, and if you get a big storm over the entirety of the watershed,
I suppose if it camps out over the whole.
There's a lot of water in that river.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Very.
I mean, but how long does it take to pull one of those things out?
A few hours.
Okay.
Basically, it's a dozer and an excavator go out there and push and pull, basically, hook up some cables to it, and up onto the bank it goes.
And then just stays there?
Stays there, waits for next year.
It doesn't migrate, we hope.
Oh, we put it up high enough where it doesn't migrate. We can't afford even to lose $25,000 bridges.
I would suspect that that would be the case. How many of those are there?
We have two that are that go in only in summer. But we've got a ton of rail car bridges around the county because when a bridge goes out or a bad culvert goes out and there's no reimbursement or storm damage emergency, we don't have $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 to replace each one. So we've been doing a lot of rail cars. And if you look around the country in a lot of rural counties, they're doing a lot of rail cars everywhere because you can get one for $25,000. That's, you know, 60 or 90 feet.
And why not?
Blast it off, sand it down, paint it, and put up a couple of abutments and plop it in. And
stick a sign on it and call it done, yeah.
It's access, you know. A lot of people don't like it because it may only be one lane. It's slippery. It's metal. But you know what? It's a road.
You're there. It's also 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson, in charge of everything in the county other than personnel. Okay, and auditing and accounting.
We have our accounting division.
I would suspect. Now, you said in the intro when you were trying to read the entire title off your badge that you were also in charge of solid waste.
Yep.
That's a whole different specialization unto itself.
And it's got a lot of changes coming up fast.
That's right. I understand the state is doing some stuff that...
Well, SB 1863 deals with organics. There's a lot of provisions in there that, you know, the county, a lot of the county is going to be exempt from the regulation because it does have at least a normalcy, a common sense of applying a density, person density ratio, because, you know, a lot of us argue if you're looking to reduce greenhouse emissions, you're probably going to be increasing them in rural counties if you require garbage trucks to go everywhere.
That's a lot
of emissions. And so the state bought off on that. And so, you know, I
understood the logic in that argument. Rather than bought off on it.
I mean, kind of state sense. Understand logic.
Yeah.
Hard time biting on that.
Okay.
But there are areas mainly near the city of Eureka and along the coast that are dense enough. You know, the cities of Arcata and Eureka and Fortuna are going to have to abide by it. And there are certain of our franchise areas that are going to have to abide by it as well. We recently worked with all the cities and HWMA to release an RFP for a consultant to come on board to kind of guide us through the process of what we need to do. So we're reviewing that actually on Thursday. So we're getting ready to hit the ground, and I've got to get something together in front of the board so I can explain to the board why their phones are going to start ringing, because if we have to add additional routes for green waste and food waste, that's an additional cost to the ratepayers. And funny thing is, the state called it didn't say it was an unfunded mandate, because we have the right to raise rates.
Oh, lucky guy.
Yeah.
You have the ability to take the arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations.
Yeah, uh-huh. Thank you.
Now, green waste seems like it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we've got green waste programs already. But adding the food waste is going to be tricky. And the issue is there's not really a whole lot of it. You know, when we look at having to develop a compost facility or something like that for a huge amount of money, for the small amount of benefit, I think it's 6,000 tons a year countywide or something like that, that's in the garbage stream right now. And the facilities are, you know, we looked at it a couple of years ago, and the cost of doing it was going to be more than the cost of disposing of it. And, you know, we tried to argue with the state that, you know, the landfill that we send our main solid waste to has a gas extraction system, and they extract the gas from the landfill and they convert it to electricity and they power the community. And that should be qualified as converting the material into a positive use. But they didn't go for that.
Because it's out of state?
No, statewide it was an issue because there's a huge number of landfills that have gas extraction systems that convert to electricity. You know, if you're just burning it off, that's, you know, you're really not doing anything for the environment other than taking the contaminants out of the ground and putting them in the air. But if you're at least converting it to electricity and running it through scrubbers, then you've got power for people's home and you've got a clean emission because you're scrubbing all the contaminants out of it.
In the Midwest, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it's like they have leaf collection day.
Yep.
Is that something? Obviously, we have evergreen, so it's not quite the same, but is that a model that could be used for other things, like, say, this food stuff? Okay, it's not an ongoing week in and week out, but once a month you can.
Well, unfortunately, there's a law that says solid waste has to be collected weekly. They can't build up, otherwise you get rodents and everything else. And
so, that's true. Yeah, you'd have to have some kind of specialized container for
it. And so, you know, there are some entrepreneurs. There's a young company in Arcata where they have a bicycle and 5-gallon buckets, and they come and drop a 5-gallon bucket off at your house. You fill it with your household waste and call them, and they come get it and pick it up and take it back and compost it. And then you go and pick up the compost when it's done. I mean, there are innovative ways to do it when you're dealing with such a small volume as we have. You know, a lot of ours is diverted to farms and other things already.
That's what I was saying, like the folks out 36, if you've got some livestock, okay, they're probably already munching down on a whole bunch of that stuff already.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, and we're just trying to figure out what is the best way for Humboldt County.
Yeah, I would think this would be a time when you would be glad that you weren't in Alameda County or San Francisco County or Marin or any of these places that are developed and they don't have some of the rural options.
But some of those areas already have these programs.
It's not new for the entire state?
No, you know, San Francisco's had a food waste program for a very, very long time.
Oh.
But when you look at those areas, it becomes very cost effective because they are so dense. You got a lot of material in a very little area. So you don't have the distance to travel with all your trucks to collect everything.
But you still have all the larger piles to do something
with. Yeah, but then, you know, with the larger amount of material becomes, you know, there's a cost savings and efficiency with that. And so, you know, if you have to build a factory for, you know, say $1 million, if you can process 1 million tons and you only have 6,000, it's very cost effective to process that 1 million tons, not very cost effective to process that 6,000 tons.
So what are the options here? Is it just going to be a surtax on everybody's utility?
Well, once everybody comes up with what their program is, because like I say, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. Some of the cities have, you know, anaerobic digesters at their wastewater facilities that have additional capacity. Well, they have the option of taking their food waste and putting it in there and composting it in the anaerobic digester, which then ends up with compost and gas. That's what we're hiring the consultant for, because we're all so different, all the cities, and each city is different and the county is different. And so we're all looking at, well, what's going to be the best way for our residents? And then a program will have to be developed, and then rates will have to be
adjusted, put
out there. And, you know, that's just, we're at the beginning stage right now. We're a bit behind the game, but we are required by law to be in the game, so we're moving forward.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, with this new legislation that's coming in at the end of the year?
Well, it's already in place. It starts to become effective January 1st, 2022.
So is there enough time for an outside consultant, a plan to be put together, proper notification, getting all the trucks lined up, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, it's the program itself is not going to start that date. Basically the gist is if you're moving forward in good faith, the state is going to work with you until you get a program in place. And we
so it's like ADA.
No, it's there's a deadline.
You show
it's
progress
a,
and
by 2024 we're going to have a program. Some of the areas that are exempt, some of the cities of small density, they're going to be exempt for 4 or 5 years, like Riodale, Blue Lake. But then they'll have to come on later. So it's kind of phased in based on your density of population. Some people have been working on it for 2 or 3 years that have large staffs and large capacity. When you're looking at our solid waste division in Humboldt County, you're looking at me. And so I have to balance that with all the other needs. And we've been trying to hire a position for quite some time now. And we actually have one applicant I think we're going to interview within the next couple of weeks, because this is
pretty specialized, isn't it?
It's not only specialized, but it's a lot of work that needs to be done. Frankly, the reason I'm in it and I'm running it right now is I ran the landfill and I worked for the garbage company for almost 5 years. So and before that, I was a consultant in the garbage industry on solid waste. So I have a little bit of a background in it.
So it wasn't the fact everybody else ran out of the room?
No, it was the fact of last man standing.
Yeah, well, okay. Same.
Who knows anything about garbage?
Yeah,
shouldn't have raised my hand.
Yeah, we have a volunteer.
Exactly.
So this is a two-year phase-in, then?
Basically, that's what we're projecting.
So what about the little itty-bitty guys? You know, the Willow Creeks, I know they have got their own sanitation.
Well, they're exempt by population density. They're less than 75 persons per square mile in any given census district. So we had to look at each census district.
So Oreck is okay.
Oreck is okay. Like I say, it's
Trinidad.
Trinidad is okay. It's concentrated around where the population
just
is.
Just the three primaries.
Yeah. So and Cutton, Myrtletown.
Yeah.
You know the greater Eureka area definitely.
Still sounds weird to hear that.
What?
Greater Eureka area.
What's wrong with that? Eureka's a great place.
Well, I understand, but
it
just makes it sound
with the county, it's greater.
Yeah. I somehow sense that somebody had said that to you at least once or twice before.
No. No. So you're always looking at a glass half empty or half full, and I'm looking at a glass that's twice the size it needs to be so we can make two glasses.
Good. I'm trying to find my glasses.
Hard to do when you don't have them.
Yeah, exactly. So if somebody is interested in this or wants to know a little bit more, do you have anything on the county website, or is this all state stuff to look up?
Right now, the best resource is the CalRecycle website. We will be developing our own. The city of Eureka is developing their own. The city of Arcata is developing their own. Different facts and information. But the wealth of detail is on the CalRecycle state website. And if you just key in SB 1863, you will come up with a lot of information.
Well, I'm hoping that they might also be able to figure out what to do with aluminum cans.
That's
totally different topic, but same outfit,
that's
right?
That had us a lot of us questioning of why are we enacting a new program when we can't even figure out the programs we already have.
And with that, it just doesn't get any better. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.